Okay, today's daf is daf Lamed Ches. We are on Lamed Zayin of the Beis. 6th wide line. My Havi Allah. So the Gemara just brought up the discussion of Breira. The Gemara was talking about the Machlokas regarding Eruv Tchumen. The Mishnah spoke about Eruv Tchumen, that one's belongings, one's objects, are also subject to the same Tchum as the person himself. And then it depends if you gave it, if it was yours. Whose was it when Yontif started? Was it did the person who owns it have it? Did he give it to a borrower? Did he give it to a ro'eh? Did he give it to his son? That's the discussion of the Gemara. So the Gemara just quoted the Machlokas. What do you do if you have two people who bought something, b'shutfis, as a partnership? So do you split up, and it was only split up on Yontif. So what do you do in terms of splitting it up? Whose was it when Yontif started? And therefore, whose tchum is it subject to? So we had Shmuel Shita. Shmuel said that everything's aser. Why? Because you do not hold a Breira. The Gemara is doing, that's what Shmuel said. And that's why you can't say that the piece that you got in the end was originally your piece. After all, that's how Breira works. Do we say that a later event can be put back, can be seen in the past, and therefore we could say it was always your piece? So Shmuel says you cannot say that, and therefore each piece that you get might have been the other person's, and therefore it's subject to the tchum of the other person. And therefore, all the items, whether it's a barrel of wine, whether it's an animal, you're only allowed to carry until the tchum of both people. Rav had been mechalik, and the Gemara had explains that according to Rav, really, he holds Yesh Breira, but the difference is that an animal, you can never really split up, because each piece ends up being nourished by the other part of the animal, and therefore you can't really split it up. Okay, so that's how we got into Breira. So says the Gemara, my Havi Allah. So what do we hold by Breira? What do we hold by Breira? Again, we're going to have a little piece about Breira, the next 15 lines or so. Again, sometimes, as we had in Mesechus Erevin, a couple of blot about Breira, it's a very big sugya. We'll just mention one thing about it in a minute. My Havi Allah, Rav Oshia Amar Yesh Breira, Rav Yochanan Amar Ein Breira. So Rav Oshia says, Yesh Breira, you can see future events put back in the past. And Rav Yochanan says, Ein Breira. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim. What is the difference between Breira, which there is a major controversy with? Do we say Breira? Do we not say Breira? D'oraisa, D'rabbanan, as we'll talk about in a minute. And the sugya called Tnai, conditions. Everybody agrees that you can make a condition. So when I get married, Hariyam Kudeshasli Almanas, that I give you $100 tomorrow. Hariyam Kudeshasli, I can make tnai on anything. I can make a tnai, a condition on a transaction. I can make a condition on a marriage. I can make many conditions. So isn't that also a future event? I might give you the money, I might not give you the money. So isn't that also a future event having an impact on an action now? So what exactly is the difference between Tanai and Breira? That is something that the Rishonim and the Achronim deal with, because Tanai is something that everybody agrees to. It's based on Psukim, based on Tanai and B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain. Breira, many do not agree with. So what is the difference between them? So just to give you two or three suggestions. Rashi in Gittin says, maybe the difference is whether you control what's going to happen or not. If it's biyado l'kayim, the future event, that is Tanai. And that works. It's biyado l'kayim. Masha'enkein, if it's out of your control, so then, for example, Ari Abu Kudeshas Li Almanaz, that it rains tomorrow, so that's out of my control. So that would be in the world of Breira, according to Rashi. That wouldn't be biyadcha, and therefore that's the difference between Tanai and Breira, according to Rashi. The Ramban and others argue, because there are certain cases in the Gemara which seem to be out of your control, and it is subject to Tanayim. So Rashi has to be modified. But either way, they say there's a different pshat. The Ramban says, if there's only one future event, and the question is, will it happen, will it not happen, that's Tanai. One future event. If it's two events, you're not sure which one is going to happen. For example, the case we're going to talk about, a rabbi is going to come give a shiur tomorrow. You're not sure if he's going to come from the east, if he's going to come from the west. That's not one event. Is it going to happen or not going to happen? That's two events. Maybe he'll come from this way, maybe he'll come from that way. By the rain, it will rain, it won't rain. It's just the positive and the negative. But a chacham coming from the east, from the west, that gets into Breira, and that is the Ramban's definition. And finally, one other pshat, and that is the Amshal Shlomo, the Marshal in Baba Kama. He has Dine Breira. He talks all about lays down the rules and regulations. Anybody want more information on Breira? Go to that Yamshal Shlomo. So he says the difference is whether it Vadai will become Mivurar or not. If it Vadai will be cleared up at some point, you know for sure. You just don't know what it's going to be. That's Tanai. If it might not ever be cleared up, and you're just hoping it might, but it might not, like the Chacham, as we're going to talk about the case of the Gemara, might not come, or you might not ever know what direction he's coming from. So that's already Brera. It's going to rain or it's not going to rain. That's Tanai. So those are three suggestions what the difference is between Tanai and Brera. Okay, so now let's get back into Brera. So it says the Gemara, so Rav Oshia says Yesh Brera, and Rav Yochanan says Ein Brera. So now we're going to quote something we had back on Daf Yud. V'savar Rav Oshia Yesh Brera, does Rav Oshia really hold that there is a concept of Brera, and future events can be put back in the past? But it's not what the Mishnah says in Ahalos, Hameis Babayis V'lo P'sachem Harbei. On Daf Yud, we spoke about the sugya called Sof Tumalatzes, where somebody has a corpse in a house, and all the doors and windows out of the house are closed up. So at this point, we don't know. We cannot forecast which door this base is going to go out of. So the halacha is that not only is there regular tumas ohel, which is din daraisa, under in the same ohel, but what about the kalim under the doorways of the house? So that's really not in the same ohel. But the halacha is, until you know which doorway the mace is going to go out of, all the psachim are tameh. Because maybe this is the doorway that the mace is going to go out of, and that's called the tumah of sof tumah latzeis. The tumah is going to go out of one of those doorways. Niftach echadehen, but the second that one of them is opened, uhu tameh v'kulan tahorim. So then you could assume that the mace is going to go out of that doorway, and v'kulan tahorim, and the rest of the doorways are tahar. Is this daraisa derabanan? We'll talk about it on the next amud. Chashav lahotzio be'echad mehen o b'chalon sheish bar balarba. But what if you didn't actually take open up a doorway, but you just thought that you're going to take it out of one of the doorways or one of the large windows? So that also is enough. Matzalas al apsachim kulan. That also saves the other doorways. Even you're just thinking about taking it to another doorway. But Beishamai has a limit. Only when does Machshava work? Only if you thought this Machshava before the person died. If you thought it, you don't have to actually open a door. You could just think about a door, and then the person dies. That saves all of the kalim underneath the doorways. But if you thought it after the person died, that doesn't help. Then you have to do a maisa, because this tuma was yorid ben machshava, and now you have to do a maisa to be okay that machshava. Ubeis hillel omer, beis hillel says no, af mishayamas hameis, even if the person has already died, and then you think you're going to take it out of one of the doorways, that's enough, says beis hillel, to save the kalim under the doorways. But then, regarding that mishnah, we have the statement of Rav Oshia, which is going to be the stira, v'yitmar Allah, and regarding that mishnah, we have Amar Rav Oshia. What does beis hillel mean? That you thought, even after the person dies, is going to save the other doorways. That's only for Kalim that's brought in there from here on in, after the time of Machshava. We do not say, though, that once you think that, then we can say this thought really occurred, and the effects of the thought occurred before the person died. What about the Kalim that have been in there from the time the person died until the Machshava? So what about that time period? So Rav Oshia says, those Kalim are Tamei. So you see, Rav Oshia does not hold a Brera. So what do you mean he holds Yesh Brera in our case by Erev Tchumin about the case where he's splitting up the animal? So the Gemara answers, you're right. Okay, Eifach, switch it. The Gemara has that option. The Gemara says, switch it. Rav Oshia Amar Ein Brera. Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh Brera. Really, Rav Yochanan is the one that says no Brera, and that's why he says that by the Mace case. And Rav Yochanan says Yesh Brera. Just to remind us of one other makar that we mentioned back on Daf Yud, Rabbi Kiva Eger, on that Gemara in Daf Yud, where Rabbi Kiva Eger says, we have a concept called bittel, which we're going to actually talk more about later today. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, usually you have bittel barov. You have, you know, an item that's mixed up into other items, then you say bittel, and the minority item loses its shame. So here, most of the doorways are tahar. You have 10 doorways in the house, and 9 of them you're not going to take the mace out of. Only one of them you're going to take the mace out of. So why do you say they're all tahar? Bittel barov. That's Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha. Daf Yud. Why do you say they're all tahar? What is sof tumalatzes? So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, you have to say that the din of sof tumalatzes is not based on suffik. It's a din vadai, as we're going to see according to Moses. It's a din daraisa. Until the point that you decide, it's not that you're not sure and therefore they're all tame. Because you're not sure, that might be the motivation of the din. But the nature of the din is that they're all tame tumas vadai. And that's why there's all kinds of a bittel here. It's not like one mixed in, you're not sure. But it's a din vadai, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, and that's why they're all tame. There is no bittel here in this Gemara. That's what he says earlier on Daf Yud. Zo shenomar b'yisod Ha'inyan tekiva she'eni odeya beiza pesach yutienu, havi ki'ilu sof tuma latzeis b'kulam, uki'ilu kulam psuchim, v'kulam tzmeyim b'vadai. Vadai in tzarachin. Okay. Says the Gemara, continuing. So we just said, okay, we switch it. Rabbi Yochanan is really the one who holds Yesh Breira. So Gemara says five lines from the bottom. Umiyisla the Rabbi Yochanan Breira. So now we could ask on Rabbi Yochanan. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold a Breira? The Ha'amar Rabati Amar Rabbi Yochanan. But we have another case. There are about eight cases in Gemara about Breira. So we've had a couple of them. We had the Erev Tchumen just now. We had Softim Alatzeis is brought up. So now we have another one. I don't think we've had this one yet. Ha'achet Shechilku Lekuchosein Umachzirin Lezelezebiyovel. What does that mean? We know that in general, if somebody buys a field from somebody else, that in Yovel, every 50 years, all fields revert back to their original owner. That's the halacha. Everything goes back to its original state in Yovel. Avadim go free. Fields go free. That is the halacha. But that is only the halacha by sales, by mekach. Let's say I yarshin something from my father. And then my brother yarshin something from my father. So if it's direct Yerusha, so then this is my original field. Nothing changed. There's no deal here. There's no transaction here. That's what I would say if I view Yerusha as Yerusha. But says Rabbi Yochanan, brothers that split up an estate are not viewed as pure inheritors, because the second that a person dies, it's not that everybody has their own specific lot in the pot, but it's just that really everybody's is mixed up. Everybody's portion that they're supposed to get in Yerusha is all mixed up. And when you finally split it up, you say, okay, you got this piece, I got that piece. But we don't view it as if this was always supposed to be your piece. We view it that maybe there was some hypothetical portion that was in this pot that you didn't get. So when you get yours, you might be taking somebody else's, but everybody is switching. Therefore, it's considered a transaction. And therefore, and this is going to happen, according to Rabbi Yochanan, every Yovel, the Heri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, every Yovel, all brothers are going to have to split up their property again, because it goes back to the original estate, and therefore you're going to have to resplit. That's the din of Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'akad Shechilku, brothers that split up an estate, Lekuchosein, they are considered buyers. They are considered that they exchange the property. Umachzir Yovel, and therefore they have to return to each other in Yovel. So what do you see from that statement of Rabbi Yochanan? That we say Ein Breira. You don't assume that the original portion, you don't assume that the portion that they got now is the original portion. We assume maybe not. That's Ein Breira. A future event cannot be pushed back to the past. So we have a kasha and Rabbi Yochanan, because we just said Rabbi Yochanan holds Yesh Breira, and now we have this Acha Shechilku where he holds Ein Breira. And if you want to say that maybe Rabbi Yochanan does not hold a Breira by Dinim Da'araisa, by Yerusha, by Yovel, that's where he does not hold a Breira. Aval Bidurabanan Islay, but Midurabanan, he would hold a Breira. Why would he make such a chilek? We'll talk about it soon. But says the Gemara first, Ubi Durabanan mi Islay. But even on a Durabanan level, what are we suggesting? That he holds a Breira by Durabanan? By the Erev Tchumen Chais? No. We have another source, which is also a Din Durabanan, where again he holds Ein Breira. V'hotani Ayo, and Rashi says, Shem Chacham. Ayo is a person. V'hotani Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we pick up the Mishnah in Erevin, the second half. Let's review the first half. Rashi quotes the first half of the Mishnah. And that is, a person is standing, and he's making a tnai. He's making a condition. It's before Shabbos. I know that there's a great rabbi coming tomorrow on Shabbos to give a shiur. I don't know where he's coming from. And I don't know if there's only one rabbi coming. I heard rumors there are maybe two rabbis coming. One from the north and one from the south. But you know what? He's going to set up his shop and give the shiur a little bit outside my city. So I want to set up an Erev Tchumen in order to go to the shiur. But you know what? I don't know which rabbi is better yet. I'm going to ask my friends. And tomorrow I'll decide, you know, which shiur I'm going to go to, assuming there might even be two rabbis coming. So am I allowed to make a condition? I'm going to put one Erev to my east, one Erev to my west, and then tomorrow I'll decide if the rabbi I want to go to goes to the east, and then I'll go to the east to hear the shiur, to the west I'll give the shiur. If no rabbi comes, I'll stay home. You know, so I'll decide tomorrow. Is that okay? Says the Tanakama, that's okay. Tanakhama says you can do that, you can make that condition, you can put out a bunch of Erev Tchumens, and you can make that condition. And when you decide, eventually the next morning, which one you're going to use, we say, Yesh Breira. This was your real makom, where you were Konesh Visa, where you established your residence at Bein HaShvashos on Erev Shabbos, and therefore it's okay. That's the Tanakhama Shita. And now we pick it up. Rabbi Yehuda argues on that. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Adam Masna Al Shei Devarim Ke'echa. Rabbi Yehuda says, no way. You can't make a tnai on two things at once, meaning he's arguing on the case where, you know, there might be two rabbis coming and I'm going to decide tomorrow which one I'm going to go to the east or to the west. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you can't do that. Ela imbachacham lemizrach, eruv alamizrach, lemay eruv alamay. If you could choose, you could pick one side or the other side. if I'm going to put it to the east, and I'm going to say, if he comes to the east, wonderful. If not, I'm going to stay home. That you could do. Or the other side, if he comes to the west, fine, I'll go there. If not, I'll stay home. Only one you're allowed to do, says Rabbi Yehuda, but not both. Vilu l'kan l'kan lo, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So now the Gemara tries to analyze Rabbi Yehuda's shita. V'havinan ba, the Gemara asks, Maishna, top of the Yamun, Maishna l'kan l'kan delo de'ein reira. What does Rabbi Yehuda have problems? Why does he have problems with the case of a double rabbi? Two rabbis. You can't go, I want to go here or there. Why? Because of Breira. Right? You don't have a Breira, therefore you can't choose west or east. So says the Gemara, Mizrach umay Rav Nami e Breira. We have the same question, but you only have one rabbi coming. If he comes, I'm going to go to the east. If not, I'm going to stay home. That also requires Breira. You don't know where your Makob Shvisa is. So why is he only upset by the case where it's east and west? Just even one of them is a problem. So answers with the Gemara, V'amr Rabbi Yochanan V'kfar B'chacham. It must be that Rabbi Yehuda, the case that he allows, is a case where really the Rav came already. He just doesn't know which side he came from. He doesn't know where he is. They didn't have newspapers in those days. They didn't know where he was. He knows he's here. So his friends will tell him in shul tomorrow which side he's on. So really, he was Kodesh Visa wherever it was already. Tomorrow is just a Gilui Milsa. He's just going to find out where the rabbi came from, but really everything is already set right now. So we're not relying on Breira. That's the case he allows. But what do you see from the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? Ein Breira. What do you see from Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yochanan is explaining Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Breira. So this is a case of a Durabanan, right? Erev Tchumen. This is one of the rise again. It's Durabanan, maybe at least the smaller Tchum, the 2,000 Amos. So ask the Gemara, Alma, Leslie, Rabbi Yochanan, Breira. So how can we suggest on the bottom of the previous Amud that Rabbi Yochanan does hold a Breira by Deoraisa, and he does hold a Breira by Durabanan, and not by Deoraisa? Here you see even a Durabanan case where he does not hold a Breira. Answers the Gemara, Ella Ola Motefach. Okay, go back originally. We had a theory with Reboshia before. Don't switch Reboshia. Reboshia, really, we said originally, he holds a Breira, and we'll stick with that. Reboshia holds a Breira. The Chilesli Reboshia, Breira Bita Oraisa. Aye, we asked the Kasha on here from that case about the mace, Softa Malatzes, that's a Doraisa. So there, by Doraisas, he does not hold a Breira. Avo Bidura Banan, Islay. But Midura, by cases, Midura Banan, he does hold a Breira. So the Gemara here is calling the case of Softa Malatzes a Doraisa. This was the problem with the Rashi earlier in Daf Yud. Rashi said Softa Malatzes Gazru Rabanan. And the Ma'arav Ransberg there noted this Rashi, because Rashi here explains the Gemara Kipshuta. Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, Daraisa. So you got to work out that Rashi. We suggested that a little bit. But this is the Gemara that's mechalik between Daraisas and Darabanans. 2 points. Number one, what's the svar for being mechalik between Daraisa and Darabanan? Either Breira works or Breira doesn't work. Why should you say, B'Daraisa ain't Breira? B'Darabanan yesh Breira. So what's the simple interpretation? Why would you make such a chilek? L'chumra and l'kula. And that's what the Ran says. The Ran again says, you know why we say Ein Breira by Daraisas? Because L'chumra, to be Machmir. You know why we say Yesh Breira by Darabanan? We're Mako. That's what the Ran says. But Achronim say on the Ran, if that's true, if that's the reason, let's say you could come up with a case that Ein Breira is a Kula, and Yesh Breira is a Chumra. So then you'd have to switch it on the Daraisa level. If the only reason you make this distinction is because you want to be machmir by Daraisas and mako by Darabanans, so that it might not always work out. You might sometimes have to say yesh breira by Daraisas, if that ends up being the chumrah. That is one svara. The Amshel Shlomo there in that Baba Kama that I mentioned before, he says, no, it's not a din based on l'chumra and l'kula. It's a din vadai. This is the din. Doraisas, you go, yesh, ain't breira. Darabanans, yesh breira. Not based on chumra and kula. And you always do it, no matter where the chips fall, no matter if it's a chumra or it is a kula. Okay. Just to mention one Tosfos, which I think we mentioned once before, a very important Tosfos. That is Tosfos in Tmura, Daf Lamed. Who remembers? Tosfos in Tmura, Daf Lamed. Tosfos says, what does it say here? By Darabanans, we say yesh breira. Fine. There's even an opinion that we say yesh breira always, according to some Tanam. Ask Tosfos, we know there's a concept called ta'aroves. If I have something treif that fell into my heter mixture, so then I need a certain amount in order to be mevatel it, to nullify it, and if not, the whole mixture is treif. Asks Tosfos, 1 minute, let's say I have treif franks, right? I have kosher franks and a treif frank fell in, and there's not enough to be mevatel. So now all my franks are not kosher. I'm not allowed to eat them. Ask Tosfos, 1 second, according to the Manda Amar, yesh breira, or let's say it's a Drabanan type of Trey Frank, right? So then you say, Yesh Breira, so why don't I just take out a franc, and because of Breira, I will say, oh, this is the one that wasn't kosher, and I'll eat the rest of them. Why doesn't Yesh Breira ruin every Taharoves? Just take out the one, and you can assume a later event has ramifications for the past, and therefore you'll never have anything treif anymore, on a Drabanan level, according to Bidrabanan Yesh Breira. That's Tosfos Kasha, Bam Kasha. Right, he's got to be a bomb answer, but what's that's what Tosa says. It's where Daf Lamed. He says, become makom nishkod chad minayo v'idach lishteru. So says Tosfos v'yomer mori. Listen to Tosfos' language. Klal gadol b'din zeh. Let me tell you an important rule. Debavadai kol dover and other Rishonim say this too. Tosfos was the first. Kol dover shahuver ha'iser mitchila v'acher kach nisariv beheter. Lo samchinan abreira. Says Tosfos, no. If the iser was nikar before it went into the mixture, and now it fell in, then you don't say breira. Breira is only where something is not known originally, and later on it's being cleared up. Here it is known, and now it's not known. So you don't know it. So you can't say this is the frank, because there's another frank that was already nikar in this mixture. So then you don't say breira. Given the ta'aruva so, haya be'iser, avalhani ta'aruva beheter, you're right. If something wasn't Usher originally, so then maybe you'd be able to hold of Breira. But again, that's an important yisod, that you don't say Breira to ruin a Taroves if the Isser was Nikar already before it fell in. Tosfos and Tmura Daf Lamed. Yeah?
Could you use kind of opposite smart to answer Rabbi Kimeiga's question? Is that you have bittul when one thing is known to be trafe, and then everything's not, it falls in, then we're about to look. But so Tumala says you don't know.
Right, by Sof Tomalatzes, you're asking Kodesh Reb Kiva Eger, but again, that might work in because there's no Nikar HaDavar beforehand.
Right, so the opposite, so
you couldn't say Bittel because
nothing is known
yet. Well, there is some potential. He's saying there is some potential one in there somewhere. So because there's potential one in there somewhere, so then at least you're either going to say Bittel or you're going to say Breira. So he's saying you should say, okay. Right, saying it in the opposite way. Okay. Okay, let's go by there. Darash, Marzutra, Halacha, Graboshia. Marzutra says the Halacha is like Graboshia, that we're machal between the Rices and the Rabbanas. Okay, end of the Brewer discussion. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had discussed Erev Tchumin, meaning whose was it in the beginning of Shabbos and Yantif, so you could determine whose Tchum do these objects go by. So Amar Shmuel, Shor Shal Patam, Hari who correctly call Adam. Let's say there is a guy in town who fattens up oxen and then sells them. So the halacha is that harehu karagli kol adam. If somebody goes and gets one on Yontif itself, so then that animal is subject to the tchum of the person who bought it, because the patam already has in mind that he's going to sell these animals. Obviously, you know, they're not going to sell in the same way, Shabbos and Yontif, you're going to do something unusual, you're not going to mention any price, all the halachas that we mentioned before, but that's the shor shel patam, is considered the shor of anybody who buys it. Even, Rashi explains, even coming from another town. Why? Because, you know, there's one patam for many towns, and therefore he had in mind all the people around. Shor shel roeh, but the shor of a shepherd, let's say one has a shepherd, there's a shepherd in town who has a bunch of animals, and then he also gives them out to people on Shabbos and Yontif. Hariyah karagli also ear. So then there's only one roeh per town. And therefore the people of that city, it could go by them, but other cities cannot come and take because he did not have them in mind. If the Mishnah continues, the Mishnah had said that if somebody borrows a kli before Yantif, so then it goes by his or her tchum when Yantif starts. That is the heir of Yantif. So Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious. If I borrow something before Yantif, a shoel as kinyanim, not our sugya now, but a shoel as kinyanim. We know a shoel as chayiv ba'onsin. Right? 99% of Rishonim hold, why should I be chayiv in an ones? Right, we know Shomer Chinim, Shomer Zakar, Shoal is even Chayv Onsen. How can I be Chayv in Onsen? I can't guard against it. The answer is that it's not because of a Chiv Shmira. It's based on Kinyanim. A Shoal owns an object to a certain extent, and therefore he has a Chiv Onsen. He has to bear the brunt of an Ones, just like a real owner has to bear the brunt of an Ones. So it says the Gemara Pshita, it's obvious that the Shoal gets it before Yantif, it's his. It goes by his Tchum. Lo Tzricha, Shemasulo, Shalom Masulo, Ela B'Yantif. No, the answer, the Chiddush is that, let's say he worked out the arrangement to borrow it before Yantif, but he only got it physically on Yantif. That's the Chiddush. Even there it goes by the Shoel. Ma'od the Tema Lab Rishusei Ukme, Kamash Malad. You might have said that it's not in his Rishus yet, and Kamash Malad, it is good enough as long as they worked it out beforehand. Misaila the Rabbi Yochanan, and this proves like Rabbi Yochanan, Like Rabbi Yochanan says, as long as if he borrowed it before Yontif, even though he didn't actually get it till Yontif, it goes by the borrower's tchum. And the opposite, b'yantif karagle amashil. If he only borrowed it on Yontif, so then it goes by the lender's tchum. If he did not work out anything before Yontif. And again, the Gemara says, pshita, it's obvious. If nothing was worked out before Yontif, then obviously it goes by the lenders. That's whose it was when Yontif and Shabbos started. So the Gemara answers, lo tzricha deragil v'shabinei. No, the Chiddush is in a case where a person always has a standing relationship with this guy. He's always borrowing things from this guy. So ma'o detema b'rshusei kamukim lei. So you might have said in that case, you're right, they didn't work it out this time. But look, he always borrows stuff from this other guy. So you might say, when he takes it on Shabbos and Yontif, the guy kind of had him in mind anyway when Yontif started. Kamash v'lan, you don't say that. Meimer amar, dilma mishka chinesh achrina, v'ozol v'shoyimine. No, because the lender said, you know what, my friend must have finally found somebody else. So therefore, he did not have him in mind, and therefore, if there was nothing worked out originally, so then he doesn't have to... that it does not work. It goes by the tchum of the mash'il. Yeah.
So, would the shoal and not be chayiv in onsen? I mean, do they always have to go together? Who tchum it is and
will the shoal then not be chayiv in onsen? I assume not. I assume hilchas onsen goes by later, while hilchas tchum and shvisas tchum, yeah, there's a Ramban that says it's befavors. There's a Ramban in Baba Metzia that's machalik and says that the chiv onsen of a shoal really kick in b'shas ha'ones. And therefore, it's whenever the ones happens, that's when it'll occur. Right, the shomer. I mean, when the event happens, that's when shomer murchayif. Okay, v'cheina isha shalom bechaverta. Last line of the mishnah, last case of the mishnah. What did the mishnah say? The case was a woman borrows salt and water from her friend. So the mishnah says, or tavlin or spices. So the mishnah says, harihu karagli shteyan. It really has to go by the tchum of both of them. So as we get into this gemara. Okay, Ahmed Aleph is going to be a little fun, these next 2-3 lines. But then we're going to turn to Ahmed Beis. So let's focus. The Shita B'Kubetza says, nobody really understands the pshat of these lines. The Mefarshim are imamum. It's very blurry. He said, I'm going to stick with Rashi, so we're going to stick with Rashi. We're going to figure out Rashi's pshat of to the Gemara and Ahmed Beis, as we will get into. But again, we'll focus and we'll, Bez Hashem, get it. But first we have a couple of fun lines. Kisalag Rabbi Abba. When Rabbi Abba went to Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he said, Yehei Rava de'ema milsa de tiskabel. Yehi ratzon, that when I get to Israel, I'll give a shiur and everybody will like it. Yehi ratzon de'ema milsa de tiskabel. Right? I'll say something that's makubal amongst the Brias. And as we're going to see in a minute, he's going to get to Eretz Yisrael and he's going to be laughed at. So ask the Mefarshim after he makes a comment. And then he's going to try to defend himself and he's going to be laughed at again. That's what we're going to see in about a minute on the base. Ask the Chassam Sofer on this Gemara. What he was deserved to be laughed at. So says the Chazam Sofer, it's because he made such a tefillah. When a person davens, he's not supposed to daven, oh, people should like my shir. That's not what you're supposed to daven. That's not Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means you should say, I should get to the MS. I should be zoked to get to the MS. And because he didn't say that, that's why he was laughed at. Says the Chazam Sofer on the Gemara, Denira de tuba kamash malan, delav orech aral mevet hachi, ela asei dvarim l'shem pa'alan, v'daber bohem l'shmam, v'yaltase atar l'zgadobam. And he says, this is not like... What's the kasha? This is not like the tefillah of Nechunya ben Akanis that's in the front of all of our Gemaras. Right? What does it say there? Nechunya ben Akanis brachas. What does he say? Shalei yara dvar tzakala al yadi, v'shalei kasha b'dvar halacha, v'yisvachu b'chaveirai. You have that line of yisvachu b'chaveirai. Says the Chazam Sofer, no, but what's the ikr there? The ikr is that he doesn't want to be kasha b'dvar halacha, he doesn't want to make any mistakes. And because, but that's the ikr. That's the ikr of the difference. And the Chazam Sofer even writes this in the tshuva. The last tshuva in Arachayim Chelek Aleph. I think it's the last one. Siman Reish Ches. Yeah, about 10 pages. But it's this tshuva where he talks about something different in every paragraph. So there he talks about somebody wrote him a tshuva about what is, should he write a certain sefer or not. So he says you should write the sefer as long as the sefer is being written totally lishma. If you have any type of taroves mixtures, you're doing it so people can, oh, Mechaber Svarim can be announced at when he's introduced, Mechaber Svarim. He said then don't write the Sefer. Because that's not Lishma, and the Sefer is not going to have Kiyum. He says, what's the whole heter that we have to write down Torah Shebal Peh today? Right? It was really Torah Shebal Peh, right? It should be by word of mouth. I should be sitting here without any Svarim. We should be talking about Torah. Why is it able to be written down? Because the Pasuk says, Eisefer Lashem. Eis lasos Lashem, Eifiru Torah Sefa. Eis lasos Lashem. Hefeirut Torasecha, says the Chasam Sofer. Only if it's Lashem, so then Hefeirut Torasecha, you're allowed to write down Torah. But if it's not Lashem, if there's other mixtures, so then he says, not true. And he says, as I always say, he writes in the Tshuva, Margul of Afumi, like Rabbi Abba, made that mistake at the end of Maseches Beisa. So that's what he quotes this Gemara, that we should make sure that we always have proper kavanas when before a person gives a shiur and he has butterflies. Before he gives a shiur, he says, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, let me say the right thing. Let me say the right. Let me zochah to the emes. Right, the natural, you know, wanting people to like it. So that comes later. That shouldn't be the kavana of a person. Kavana of a person should be, obviously, we're all human. We want the shiur to be mekubal al abrius. But the ikar kavana should be that I should be zochah to get to the emes lamita shel Torah. Okay, so Rabbi Abba goes to Eretz Yisrael. Kisalik, when he gets there, so it's amazing also, he gets there and they're talking about a Mishnah. And he makes a comment on the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah is in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the Mishnah is basically the same. There are differences here and there, but he goes to Eretz Yisrael and they're starting the same Mishnah. So the Gemaras are different. They are the Gemara. So the Gemaras are different. But Kisalik, Ashkeder, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, oh, just one other Ha'ara. These, the Marcheshes, one of the great Achronim, suggest that we know the Gemara talks about sometimes that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi have different Archi Halimud. That's why he was a little nervous when he was going there. Like sometimes there's more Bekiyas, there's more Be'iyan, how they learn. That's why he was nervous about it. That's why he made such a comment. So anyway, Kisalik, when he gets there, Asher Chedor, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chinin, Rabbi Papi, Rabbi Zera, V'yamila, Rabbi Yavo, Rabbi Shimon, Pazi, Rabbi Yisrael Nafka, he found all these rabbis sitting together, V'yasi V'kamri, and they were saying, Amai, why does our Mishnah say that if a woman borrows water, salt, and spices from another woman on Shabbos and Yontif, so then we say they're both stuck, they have to go by the tchum of both of them. Ask these rabbis, V'liv tomayim o'melech l'gabi isa. Why isn't the water and the salt nullified in the dough? After all, one woman has most of the ingredients. She borrowed a little bit of water and salt and spices from another woman. So the whole isa should be defined as the first woman's dough, and therefore the tchum should be determined by her. Why is she subject to the tchum now? This dough cannot be taken outside the tchum of the woman that she borrowed from. What do you mean? The water and the salt and the spices should be nullified in the isa. Tosfos here on the bottom has an important comment. He says, what kind of bittel are we talking about here? Usually bittel goes by taste. So it says Tosfos, that's the chiddush of this Gemara, the three lines from the bottom in Tosfos. Dol domi l'shari surin, t'hadavar toli b'tam, aval hacha isur tchumin toli b'shem b'ilam alachefet. Here, the issue isn't one of taste, even if there is taste. But still, says Tosfos, the isur tchum is toli on ownership, and therefore there's so little ownership of the other woman in this mixture, and therefore it should be nullified, and we should say that it only goes by the tchum of the other woman. This is what these rabbis were saying about this Mishnah, that they had a kasha on the Mishnah. So comes Rabbi Abba, Amar lo Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, 1 minute. Come on, I can defend the Mishnah. Hareish and Isari lo kav chitin ba'asor kav and chitin shal chaveiro yochal halav chadi. Says Rabbi Abba, if some of my wheat got mixed up with your wheat, so what are you going to say? You're going to say, oh, it's batel, you can eat your whole wheat. And you'll smile and you'll be happy about it. What do you mean? How does that work? Just because something is in a mixture with something greater, it should be nullified? And the way Tosfos explains this, the top Tosfos explains this, and that is, bittel works by isurim. If you have something treif that falls into something mutter, so then you have bittel could kick in. But bittel doesn't just wipe out dine mominis. Bittel doesn't wipe out ownership. So if most of this item is yours and a little bit is mine, bittel should work? Says Rabbi Abba, that's the case of the Mishnah. So that's why it's not nullified in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Abba defends the Mishnah. That's why the salt and the spices are not nullified in the Mishnah. That's how he tries to defend the Mishnah. So what happens? Achichole, they start laughing at him. Ah, come on, what kind of defense is that? So Amalahu glusayu shakli. So he says, I didn't take off your jacket or anything. What are you laughing at me for? So Hadrachele, oh, they laughed at him again. So this is why Chazan Sofer says, why did he merit such a welcome? That's because he made that tefillah. Okay, but now we get into the meat. You know, what's going on here? It sounds like a good svara. So what exactly was the problem? Amar Raboshia. Shapra Avidachichole. It's good that they laughed at him. Because why? It wasn't a good claim. There's a kasha on that defense of the Mishnah. So now what's Raboshia going to do? Let's just focus. We're either trying to ask a kasha on the Mishnah or defend the Mishnah. That's what we're going to do until the bottom of the oven. So asking a kasha on the Mishnah means in the Mishnah you should say the ingredients are batel and therefore it should go by the borrowers, the woman who owns the dough's tchum. And when we defend the Mishnah, we're going to say no, it's good that it's not batel. And therefore, it's subject to the tchum of both of the women. So now we're going to, so Raboshi is going to defend the laughing. right? Defend the laughing, which means we're going to defend the kasha on the Mishnah. So, Maishnoki de Bisarim de Loka Amalahu. What was Rabbi Abba's claim to them? He said, oh, if my wheat fell into your wheat, it wouldn't be batal, right? So, therefore, you know, so too in the Mishnah. So, it says Rabbi Oshia, why did Rabbi Abba say to them, if my wheat fell into your barley? Why did he have to give wheat and wheat? Why did he say that? So my shtachi the bizarre lo karmelahu. Why didn't he give a case of wheat into barley to havile min b'she'en omino? Because then that is a case of one type falling into something that's not its type min b'she'en omino u min b'she'en omino batel. And the halach is min b'she'en omino that is batel. And therefore, Rabbi Abba, for some reason, if you would have given a case of wheat into barley, you would agree that bittel takes place in that case. So says Reb Oshia, so chida b'chida nami. The reason they laughed at him is that even wheat and wheat, even if it's min b'mino, nehid lo Reb Yehuda lo batel. You're right that there's a machlokas in Meseches Menachos, and Reb Yehuda holds a type in its own type is not batel, but the Rabbanan, we hold, it is batel even by min b'mino. Lo Rabbanan miftel batel. But the Rabbanan say even min b'mino, even a type in its own type is batel. And therefore, bittul should take place. And therefore, in our Mishnah, you should say that the ingredients in the mixture are batel and should only go by the tchum of the borrower, the one who borrowed, the one who owns the Issa now. So Rav Oshia defends the laughter. So Amarle, again, there's a lot to talk about min b'mino, but we're going to try to get through the Gemara, and then if we have time, we'll talk more about it, if not tomorrow. So Amarle, Rav Safra says, 1 minute. Rav Safra says to Rav Oshia, Rav Safra is out to defend the Mishnah. Moshe! So Moshe is just an exclamation, right? Moshe, you're like Moshe Rabbeinu. Shaper Kamrit, did you say properly? No. The Mishnah has a leg to stand on. Don't you know this statement? Let's say somebody, I'm about to buy a pile of wheat from you. But every time, whenever you have a pile of wheat, there's always pebbles and rocks, you know, stuck in there. That's when you gather wheat, you know, some rocks get in there. So let's say before I buy it, I'm going to go through your pile of wheat and take out the pebbles. So I'm going to get a pure wheat pile. No pebbles in there. You know what the halacha is? Chayev l'shalim l'dmei chitim. So you have to, meaning basically he has to lower the price, or you have to pay him for that space, because the assumption usually is that rocks are assumed to be there. When you pay for a pile of wheat, the assumption is that there are some rocks in a certain amount of places. And if you take out the rocks beforehand, then you want to add on some more wheat in order to get the volume, the same volume, so then he doesn't have to, that's beyond regular business practice. And therefore, that is, you'll have to pay for that extra wheat that you want to get. So what do you see from that halacha? Ki lachasrei. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Even if something inherently is not valuable, these pebbles that you're taking out of the wheat pile is not valuable, yet, because they take up space inside, they have significance and you have to deal with them. So hachanami, so too, says Rabbi Safi in our Mishnah, kila chasrei. You want to say that the ingredients are small in our Mishnah, and therefore they should be batel? No. We know even rocks that have no inherent value, they have to be taken, they have to be thought about and dealt with. So surely in our Mishnah, where it gives off taste and it gives off and it makes the dough, it's the water, and so that for sure should have significance, and therefore it shouldn't be batel. So I'm going to buy it back. So Abaya now says back Akasha on the Mishnah. 1 second, you're comparing the case of the pebbles and the case of our Mishnah with the dough that was lent. V'lo shani lemar bein mamon sheyesh lo tovin l'mamon sheein lo tovin. Isn't there a difference between money that has claimers and money that does not have claimers? Mamon sheyesh lo tovin means anything that has an owner. That's mamon sheyesh lo tovin. So then in the pebble case, I understand why you have to take it into account. Because that space belongs to one person, and the other person is buying it. But in our Mishnah, the lender already gave these ingredients to the borrower, and the lender is not getting anything back until after Yontif. The lender is not interested in getting anything back. So it's as if those ingredients would be in the category of mamon she'ein lo tovim, in owner items which don't have any owner. And therefore, again, says Abaya, so in the Mishnah case, it should be batel, because it's a lower level bilus than the case of the pebbles, and therefore it should be batel. So I'm relating it back now. So now, Rav Safra adds back to defend the Mishnah. Ula Taimeh, according to you, what are you saying? That ownership makes a difference, and therefore Bittul should apply by ownership and not by Isurim? But what about the following statement? Rav Chisda tells us, Rav Chisda, Rashi explains, is within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Remember we mentioned up above. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino lo batel. A thing in its type does not get nullified. We'll talk about the svara for that tomorrow. We mentioned in the past the svara for that. But min b'mino lo batel. How do you define min and mino? What's min b'mino? What's min b'sheino mino? So it's a big discussion. The Gemara here has one idea. Rav Chisda says, let's say you have meat, nevela and kashera. You have meat that was shechted properly and meat that was not shechted properly. And they get mixed in with each other. So is that the same type or that's not the same type? So says Rav Chisda, it depends which is more. Which falls into what? So nevela betela b'shchuta, says Rav Chisda, nevela, unshechted meat, is nullified if it falls into a majority of shechted meat. Why? Because the halacha is, if the majority item can never get the halacha of the minority item, that's called min b'she'eno mino. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be batal. If the majority item can somehow get the halacha of the minority item, so then that's called min b'mino, and therefore it would not be batal, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So in this case, if you have nevela that falls into shechted meat can never get tumas nevela. Can never happen. Can never get tumas nevela. It's kosher. Can never get tumas nevela is if it's not shechted. So nevela that falls into shchuta can be nullified, meaning it's called min b'she'eno mino. Min b'she'eno mino is easier to have bittul done than min b'mino. Why? L'fishi efshe l'shchuta sh'teyas a nevela. Shchuta can never turn into a nevela. But the opposite case, shchuta ain't a betela b'nevela. But let's say shechted meat fell into nevela treif meat, so that's called min b'mino. That is called in its type. Why? Because it's possible that the nevela can get the status of kosher meat. How? It could lose its tumas nevela. How? If it rots. If it rots enough that it doesn't have, it's not called meat anymore, then it's tahar. There's no more tumas nevela. And therefore, if the mevatel, if the majority item can turn into, eventually, the minority item, that's called min b'mino. That's the statement of Rav Chisda within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara asks the question. So you want to tell me, though, that let's say in the case where bittul does occur, right, in the first half of the case, nevela and shchuta, right, bittul does occur, but now you're telling me, oh, ownership makes a difference. What if the meat was owned by different people, then bittul will occur? We never have anything, any note on this statement of Rav Chisda about that. But you're telling me that, just like in our Mishnah, you know, bittul should occur. So that would be a chiddush. V'chitei machinami. If you want to tell me it's true that ownership makes a difference, says the Gemara, I'll quote you a raya that ownership does not make a difference. V'hatanya amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's quotes in Erevin, we had this. Chefse hefker konin shvisa. Let's say there's an item that's on the floor that nobody owns. So we know that items, we said in our Mishnah, that if own items, assets go by the tchum of the owner. But let's say there's an item that is not owned by anybody. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it's konish shvisa wherever it is. 2,000 amos, even though you go pick it up on Yontif, still, you can't take it wherever you want. It's konish shvisa in its spot. Af al pi she'ein lam bailim. Even though there is no owner on those items, domin kemishi yesh lam bailam. We treat it as if there is an owner. And therefore, you see, bailus is not so significant. Even without bailus, we treat it as if there is bailus. Therefore, don't get so excited about our Mishnah. In our Mishnah 2, bittul does not take place. Don't just say, because it belongs to somebody else, then that bailus will be nullified. Last line, then the sugya stops. Amarlay, so Abaye says back, one second. Still, Mika Medamis Isur Lamamona. How could you compare, the way Rashi learns this line, how could you compare our Mishnah, which is about Tchumen, to Mamona, which is the case, what's the big proof that you have to support the Mishnah, the case of the pebbles that are not worth anything? You can't compare the case, Isura Batil, Mamona Lo Batil. Isurib can be Batil. Right, but Mamona cannot be batal. Stay for an Armishna is about Isurim. And Erev Tchum, are you allowed or not allowed to carry it out? That's not like the case of the pebbles where you take it out and you owe the guy money. Isura, Mamona, two different parts of Torah. You can't compare them. There are different rules. And therefore, we end up with a question. We end up, why in our Mishnah is the water and the spices and the salt that you take, why isn't that batal? Why do we say that now you're subject to the Tchum of both of these women? So we end up with a Kasha. So that's what the Gemara now asks for time of mind. So why Taka? Why in our Mishnah is the water and the salt and the spices, why isn't it's batal. Shouldn't it be batal? Right? It's mamon, and therefore, according to many of the possibilities in this daf, we should be batal. And that's what they held in Eretz Yisrael. So why? So the Gemara is going to give three different answers why it is not batal. But again, this was the challenging part of the Gemara. But again, every line either went back and forth. Do you say bittul in our Mishnah? Do you not say bittul in our Mishnah? That's where the Gemara just went back and forth. So we'll stop here. The time of I will start again. But tomorrow we'll start with Iran. Iran and Nadarim, what the Svara is for Rabbi Yehuda of Min Bamino Lo Bata. We mentioned it already by Davar Sheish Lamatirin, but we'll mention it again in the beginning of the shir tomorrow. Okay, just two more blots. Today's shir was L'Zecha Nishmas Yitzchak Ben Moshe, sponsored by the Galler family. And during the week, we just got a sponsor for the week shir, sponsored by the Gershbaum family, Shmuel Yosef Ben Yechezkel.